So this slide is an example of our pilot tool, and we're calling it our financial incentives plan. And this is an addition to the written benefits analysis that we provide each of the individuals that we serve. This particular example is showing an individual who is receiving $1,100 a month in Social Security disability benefits. And if you look at the right side here and you look at after the trial work period, it shows how much the individual needs to earn each month after the trial work period is over to either stay on benefits or how much they need to earn to replace the benefit they're receiving. And we're also able to look here at Medicaid and Medicare costs and how they'll factor into this scenario. We are giving individuals at least four scenarios of income levels so they can really take a look at, you know, if they're under substantial gainful activity, and also at the far right, how much they can earn and not only replace their Social Security, but be ahead as well. Next slide, please. So this page is the second page of the financial incentive plan, and what it does is it takes those scenarios from the first page and it breaks it down by hours per week of working and the hourly wage you need and the hourly wages figured out with how much they're going to earn a month gross. So as you can see in this person's situation, if you look on the very bottom on the right side, if they want to earn $2,200 a month and be $1,100 a month ahead at the end of the month, then they could potentially work 40 hours a week at $13 an hour. So that really gives that VR counselor and the beneficiary a really solid number to look at. I need to not look at just some pie-in-the-sky employment goal. But these are the real hard financial facts that I need to be able to make it work. And we're pretty early in the process of our pilot and looking at some of our statistics, so kind of a to be continued on this because we just started it a couple of months ago. Next slide, please. In 2011, Utah's Vocational Rehabilitation did a research study with the Work Incentive Planning Services. We also contracted through the Center for Public Policy and Administration at the University of Utah. What we wanted to do is really look at the economic impact of a written benefits analysis on VR clients when we're looking at their rate of employment, what their income is, and their closure status, so how successful their closure status was. Next slide, please. This is a little teaser because we're actually going to be presenting a little bit, well, we're going to be presenting more thoroughly on this study in the June webinar and telephone call. But just a couple of the findings we had were at the quarter after closure with vocational rehabilitation, the program group was almost 15% more likely to be employed than the control group based on unemployment data. So for the quarter prior to application, there wasn't any difference between the program and control group's employment rates. So it really shows that after, even though there was no difference before, afterwards there was a difference to the employment rate. And then also, an individual who received a written benefits analysis, they were over 16% more likely to have a closure status of successfully employed or a 26 closure. Next slide, please. So let's look a little bit at the future for the Work Incentive Planning Services. We still have clients that we need to serve. I know it seems like 10 benefit specialists is a lot, but we're still stretched pretty thin here. We want to continue to work with vocational rehabilitation and partner with them to enhance the employment supports for Social Security beneficiaries. We want to be able to reach out to more clientele, and we also want to be able to specialize in groups such as what Richard was speaking about, working with transition age clients and really providing those continued services. It's really important that VR continue to support, and it's really crucial to the Work Incentive Planning Services, not only in the funding, but also serving their client base. It's a really natural fit for us to work with them. Another thing that's really important we feel very strongly about is trying to get renewed Social Security funding. That funding and support is critical to reach out to underserved beneficiaries. We work really closely right now with our Area Work Incentive Coordinator. It's nice to hear another state's working really closely with their AWIC. Her support is really so important to the success of our program and being able to give good information to our beneficiaries. We also want to seek new ways to support increased employment for beneficiaries, and we want to continue to explore enhanced funding under the Ticket to Work, because the money that from Ticket to Work and from cost reimbursement is what pays for our salaries and keeps us employed. Next slide, please. So this is my contact information. If you have any questions after our phone call today that we don't address today, I'd like to welcome you to give me a call or email me. And I really want to say how much I appreciate talking on this topic today. I'd now like to turn over some time to Tammy Lidicote of Employment Resources Incorporated to hear a little bit more information. Thanks again.
Hi, thank you, Jolene. Hi, everyone. My name is Tammy Lidicote. I'm the Director of Employment Resources Incorporated in Madison, Wisconsin, and we have been an EN since 2008. You can change the slide, please. And my part of the presentation is really going to be focusing on the continuum and the importance of work incentives, benefits, planning, services, and supports for people who are already working and have a goal to go off of Social Security cash benefits. I'm going to talk about our collaboration in Wisconsin to create a sustainable employment retention service through Ticket to Work, which has been based on a Partnership Plus model. And I also have with me the manager of our Ticket to Work program. Her name is Kate Kingery, and she is here just in case we get some technical questions, because she is really the brains behind all of this and our project detail person. So thank you, Kate, for joining me. So you can go to the next slide, please. A little bit about employment resources and what made us really consider the Ticket program. We are a small nonprofit. We're located in Madison, Wisconsin, and we have been in the work incentives benefits planning business for about 20 years. And we currently employ 9 work incentives benefits specialists across varying programs. And I just want to go over a little bit of history of our plan or our funding sources. In the early 1990s, we started a service in our local county to provide benefits planning for people with physical disabilities. And this was funded by the county and a statewide foundation. So this later evolved into the development of a fee-for-service arrangement with our state VR agency. Then came Social Security's BPAO, or Benefits Planning Assistance and Outreach Program, which then evolved into the recent WIPA program. We also have a grant from our State Department of Health Services to provide statewide training and technical assistance regarding federal and state-specific benefits issues and work incentives planning. And we also currently manage the Enhanced Work Incentives Counseling Services across Wisconsin under the Social Security Bond Demonstration Project. So what I'm trying to illustrate here is we have enjoyed a lot of different funding sources, but all of those are very vulnerable. They are time limited. They can change anytime according to the schedule or priorities of a funder. And we saw that happen recently with the WIPA project. So back in 2008, we were really seeking a sustainable funding source to do what we do. And we looked at Ticket to Work, and we thought, how could we make this program fit us? We don't really do a lot of job placement and job development, but we do benefits. And our expertise is in understanding really the complicated and overlapping benefit systems that ticket holders have to operate under when they work. So we thought it would be a fit for us to take a look at the Ticket to Work program, but we weren't really wanting to take a huge financial risk. And we thought, you know, how could we look and tap into readily available ticket funding and serve people who are already working? So next slide, please. So we looked at, should we become an employment network? And in reaching a decision, we looked at the potential value of a person's ticket after they've been closed successfully by a VR agency. And we also looked at what might drive VR to want to work with us and how all of us involved could meet employment goals and mutual goals, the ticket holder, VR, the EN. And we looked at services we do best and how could we help a ticket holder with their changing benefits issues while they concentrate on working off of Social Security benefits. Next slide, please. So why would VR want to work with an EN and why would they want to work with us? Well, we thought maybe we could help them increase their cost reimbursement. We took a look at some of the statistics. This is really rough numbers, but nationally, state VR agencies close approximately 24,000 cases per year with Social Security beneficiaries working above SGA. Typically, less than 50% of those are still working above SGA after 9 months. And state VR agencies can get reimbursed by SSA for all costs associated with serving a beneficiary when they receive those 9 continuous months of SGA. Next slide, please. So how the EN funding can work is after VR closure, while phase one milestone payments are no longer available, there is still approximately $15,000 left of cash value to a person's ticket if they continue to work through the life of their ticket. And if we know that 10,000 ticket holders are already making it to 9 months of SGA, these are individuals who could readily generate ticket payments for an EN, and also makes, and I have a typo here, again, on the screen, it's not $15 million available, but it's $150 million available that could be tapped into by ENs who could provide employment retention services. So then there are the other 14,000 people who leave VR working at SGA who never make it to 9 months of SGA. Could ENs help them reach those 9 months? So we kind of looked at this and thought, well, if we could help out, maybe this would be a winning situation. Next slide, please. So together we could possibly recover more cost reimbursement for a state VR agency. We could be on deck, an EN could be on deck after VR closure to continue to serve the ticket holders for the long term. And with continued support, that person might be more likely to work long term and less likely to return back to VR, the recycling process. And so we thought about all this and basically just had a business plan for our new EN service. So we decided to do it. Next slide, please. Our model is founded on the concept of Partnership Plus, offering work incentives planning and support services to increase long-term successful employment of Social Security beneficiaries. Our strategy initially is to lessen our financial risk by serving people who are working in SGA or above. And over the long term, our goal was to generate enough funding so that we could subsidize work incentives planning services to provide services to others who don't have a funding source or don't have that goal to work off of benefits. Next slide, please. So we started to roll out a strategy. It did not happen overnight. It took 4 years of planning, marketing, designing, redesigning, and so on. Next slide, please. So first of all, we planted a lot of seeds. We did a lot of planning and talking. We initiated a lot of discussions with stakeholders about the possibilities of using the ticket to provide employment retention services. It was also good timing, as at the same time, VR was really interested in the development of a base of Wisconsinians to refer to more local choices for the consumers. We worked on developing while we were doing this, we worked on developing our EN program, did our policies, and started to work with just a few customers to sort of figure out our program and get our feet wet. Next slide, please. So in 2010, we were ready to serve ticket holders. We had our ducks in a row. We really put our efforts into marketing. and we started actively marketing and attending various VR-related meetings to let them know about our unique service model, how we could possibly meet mutual goals and serve consumers in a continuum. We met with VR senior leadership. Charlene Dwyer, who is our facilitator for this call, was our VR administrator at the time, and she was a real champion in pushing these ideas forward in our state. We met with VR area managers and supervisors. We attended various staff meetings that included VR counselors. We also met with the State Rehabilitation Council, which oversees state VR agencies. So we really got our message out there. We were pretty persistent and kind of popping up all over the place. Next slide, please. Next thing you know, we were really working together, REN and our VR agency. We were presenting together at various conferences. VR revised several closure policies regarding SSA beneficiaries and ticket to work options, closure letters, various policies. We worked together in 2012 to develop a formal partnership plus agreement. And what was, I think, really great about that agreement was that it included provisions for work incentive benefits planning services to be offered while the ticket holder was receiving VR services prior to an EN handoff. So we were happy that that was included in that partnership plus agreement. Also recently, VR hired and has a designated ticket to work coordinator, Gina, who we work with very closely and has been just a great resource for us. Another thing that happened during 2012 is that VR changed their work incentives benefits counseling policies to include more focus on ticket to work and more ongoing continuum of services. And started to require that VR counselors now sit in on meetings with work incentives counselors, which has been, we think, very valuable. So now, back to our EN, we are serving a continuous caseload of about 60 to 70 working ticket holders, and about 30% have been referred to us by Wisconsin DVR, and of those, about 75% have generated cost reimbursement for the VR agency. We're pretty excited about that because I think we've got a really nice partnership going on, and that means that people are continuing to work. 65% of our ticket holders are in outcome status, meaning they are no longer receiving Social Security cash benefits, but they certainly continue to need our services. So, and the only other thing I wanted to mention was that all of this really caused us not to panic when we lost our WIFA funding back in about a year ago. We could actually shift gears and maybe put more trained staff resources into our ticket program. So we weren't panicking. We thought, we'll just increase the size of our ticket program. But we also had a relationship now with our VR where we could actually just pick up the phone and ask how they intended to respond to that loss of the WIPA service, since they really did rely on WIPA to serve many of their VR customers. And actually, VR leadership wasted no time in announcing that they value the service. They cited there are many studies to support the effectiveness of the service, and that they expected VR counselors to increase the purchasing of the service for all SSA beneficiaries, and that's quite a few in Wisconsin. So we're real very, very busy right now with fee-for-service business with the VR agency. I would like to think all of this happened because of our wonderful partnership, but I really think some of the studies that have come out, including the one they did in Utah that Jolene just talked about, helped a lot with that decision. I think there's a lot of evidence out there, you know, being compiled out there that does support work incentives planning as a way to really foster self-sufficiency and employment. Next slide, please. So I'm going to move on from the business and funding issues. I will talk about the services and lessons that have evolved from our Ticket to Work program. Typically, before we became an EN, a large percentage of our business service benefit services were provided to people considering work. And this Ticket to Work group that we have right now, they're working, and they are a kind of a different animal. Next slide, please. They are in the arena of benefits transitions. And another thing that we've really found is that motivated people will find their own jobs. A lot of people are coming to us, haven't used VR or EN, other EN services to find those jobs. They found those jobs themselves. Many people with disabilities have work experience, skills, and sometimes pretty high earning capacity, but what they seem to lack is the confidence and expertise to navigate those complex work incentives in government systems like Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare. And so what we want to do is focus on their benefits issues so they can focus on working. And an example, we have a person named Greg that we've worked with. That he found his work on his own in 2010, and his hours really varied greatly every month. They fluctuated between less than trial work period dollars and then over SGA. So it was kind of back and forth, back and forth. It was never very consistent. So one day, Greg received letters from SSA, two letters on the same day. One said that they did not have enough information about his work to make a decision about his benefits, and the other indicated that his benefits were going to be suspended. So that was a little bit confusing for Greg. So we worked with Greg to review all of his wages on file, assisted him in connecting to the regional AWIC. This was an AWIC in a different state, and that AWIC was very, very good to work with. She corrected his record, which resulted in him receiving one more SSDI check and prevented an overpayment notice. So next slide, please. So speaking of overpayments, overpayment prevention and management has really evolved into a huge part of what we work on with our ticket holders. Overpayments resulting from employment and those resulting scary letters received from SSA are really big reasons why beneficiaries get disillusioned and give up on working. We know the staff numbers in the SSA field offices are shrinking, disability roles are growing, they're overburdened. We've heard it over and over again. Social Security employment records are rarely updated in real time. And most people who work substantially, at least the people that have been finding us, regardless of the reporting efforts, continue to get paid for a time after the cash benefit should have been stopped. When SSA catches up, they issue those overpayment notices, letting people know they owe the money and that money's probably already likely been spent by that person. And correcting this problem and collecting back overpayments has been identified by SSA as a strategic priority. And so what we do is really coach and inform individuals to report their wages, get your records up to date, and provide missing or incorrect information. We monitor every person's use of work incentives and income status to know exactly when they should not be receiving a benefits check. We anticipate this. We inform everyone about when their check should stop. Don't cash the check. Save your overpayment. It's going to catch up, and you're going to have to pay the money back. Another thing we do is we contact SSA field offices in an attempt to initiate work reviews. We provide missing wage, other information to assist in the stopping of benefits payments. We do have very good relationships with our AWICs. We have good relationships in Wisconsin, as well as we have been really developing some good relationships in other states. But it sounds like things are getting hard. This is getting harder and harder to do for ENs. We've heard a lot from ENs about the increasing lack of help they're receiving from the field offices, and the offices are really, really swamped. So as an EN, we've really taken it upon ourselves to be the reservoir of information and wage documentation so that ticket holders have the evidence they need when they have to deal with some of these issues. So this can save a lot of headache if Social Security loses or is unable to locate employment information for a ticket holder. So, again, we really do a lot in the area of overpayments for our ticket holders. So back to Greg, he had an issue. He got off his Social Security SSDI benefits for over a year. But in 2012, his job ended due to cutbacks, and so we helped him get his benefits reinstated. And the same week, he got a letter from Social Security saying he owed over $3,000 in overpayments, and they were going to keep his future checks until he paid it back. Well, he couldn't really afford to do that. So we worked with the AWIC again for weeks to correct this case file. It did result in him not having an overpayment. So, you know, we wonder, without help, would Greg have given up on working? We don't know, but we know he's actively seeking work again. In fact, I think he may have already gotten a job. Next slide, please. So another factor, another thing that we've really realized is that people don't necessarily go off and stay off of cash benefits. It can be a real on-again, off-again situation. Many individuals with severe physical disabilities or mental illness contend with episodic needs when it comes to their health and their ability to work. Many are motivated to work. Some can earn at pretty high levels for long periods of time, but suddenly they need to access benefits because of recurring health issues. And when they recover, likely they go back to work. So we do a lot of work with individuals to maintain their Medicare or their Medicaid, make sure that they have access to their health benefits. Next slide, please. Another issue that we just continually run into is the poverty issue. Even though people are working, poverty is a reality for the most of the people that we work with. Current public policy requires impoverishment in return for government benefits, which in turn complicates a person's efforts to become self-sufficient. And most beneficiaries have few, if any, assets, and in many cases have huge debt associated with medical bills, student loans, auto expenses, and, you know, so on and so on. So climbing out of debt is a real disadvantage for someone who needs clothes for work, reliable transportation, or even a decent place to live. So we're really finding out that financial assistance or referral to resources that can help someone at a critical time can make a difference between job success and failure. So we're just starting to make the connections to financial literacy resources and asset development strategy, debt reduction strategies, and this is something we are going to be concentrating more on in the coming year. Next slide, please. So basically, in summary, 5 years into our EN project, our vision has become reality. We do have a high degree of collaboration and partnership with our state VR agency and our SSA field offices. We're really happy about that. We're having success in our ticket holders. They're staying on the job long term, and we are, you know, pleased to say their business strategy has allowed us to create a reserve this year for the first time of funding to serve others outside of our ticket program. It's a small pot of money, but we're hoping it will grow in future years. So thank you very much. I really appreciate being a part of this discussion. I hope this was beneficial for you, and that's all I have. So thank you for listening to me, and we are now ready to answer any questions you may have, and turn it back to Shantae, our operator, to open the lines for questions. Thank you.
At this time, if you wish to ask a question, simply press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question is from the line of Patrick King. Hello, Patrick. Patrick, your line is open. Okay. Your next question will be from the line of Eugenia Cox.
Hi, this is Eugenia. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You can?
I can hear you, Eugenia. Hi.
Okay. I just had wanted to find out about the funding, as far as, I think Paula Fitch had asked on the chat line about the funding of the program through the cost reimbursement monies and the $110, like Paula had said, originally said in her text, I mean in her chat, the funding, we weren't allowed by RSA to be able to fund non-VR clients. So kind of wanted to get an idea how the states are getting around that.
Well, this is Jolene. I was the one that put the funding stuff up, and because we have funding sources other than cost reimbursement and 110 funds, it allows us to expand our ability to meet with other clientele who are not VR funded.
Okay.
So because we maintain other grants as well, they've allowed us to be able to do that.
Okay. I'm sure Paula will give you a call to get more specifics, but it kind of, well, I was wondering the same question when she put it up there, so thank you.
Again, that is star one to ask a question. Your next question is from the line of Sean Blasick.
Yes, I have a couple of questions, and it's regarding speaker number one. You mentioned about reporting of the earnings. Do you recommend that the beneficiaries do that by using the dial-in number or by fax or dropping the pay stubs off in person or by U.S. mail?
We have found, I'm talking to my CWICs, and I know what we have found, and we are fortunate. Our Whittier office is not that far away from the central part of the community we support. We highly recommend they take it in and they get it stamped, and that way they have proof that they turned it in. So we advocate, because they can do it, that they go up to the Social Security office and turn it in.
Okay. And regarding the partnership with Vocational Rehab, we are located in Arkansas, and we have entered an official partnership with Vocational Rehab. Now, it's still somewhat in its infancy. We've been going about a year and a half now, but it's been very difficult to get the counselors at the offices to respond, as well as the district managers to respond to the partnership we have entered. Any suggestions?
I am not going to say that ours started off rosy and wonderful. However, it did start by pulling together the State Department of Voc Rehab, the Regional Center, which is our OMRDD system, education, our feeder districts, and some community agencies. And we had a task force that met every 3 months to talk about transition, employment, supported employment. And I believe we built the relationship with them that it really was a combined outcome that we were looking for. And I do believe, because we set that in motion so many years ago, that's why we're still reaping the benefits. We have a great partnership with all the funding agencies. We meet quarterly. We all know each other. We know what our goals are. We know what our limitations are. So my feedback to you is just partnership, collaboration, meeting with an outcome of more placements or working the system, so it's not meeting just to have a meeting. And I think that's what has allowed us to have the cooperative relationship. And as I said in the beginning, there have been times where I've had down and dirties with the supervisor because I advocate for some individuals that are more severely disabled and they really want to get to 26s faster. So we don't always have sweet conversations, shall I say.
And last question regarding public schools and working with those individuals who are transitioning from high school into college. I'm guessing you would probably suggest to reach out to the counselors to give them more information about the student earnings income exclusion, past plans, vocational rehab, et cetera.
We have, yes, my wife. Just answer the question, Richard. We have done very well by working with the Office of Students with Disabilities at the four-year college, the community college, and building a liaison. We also are benefiting from our State Department of Rehab does have some cooperative grants with the community college and the four-year college. So there's a network of post-secondary people who are continually asking the questions of where does the Social Security stuff fit in, where does job coaching fit in, if they can't get it paid for, how could that be in the system? So to answer your question, yes, utilize the Office of Students with Disabilities as your link to those environments.
Great. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Your next question is from the line of Bart Hill.
Hello there. Beneficiaries, after they worked the SSDI 9-month successful work period and SGA, they still have to report their earnings to the field office, don't they, even though they're not receiving cash benefits?
Yes.
Okay.
You might still be on benefits.
Again, to ask a question, simply press star 1. At this time, we have no further questions.
Okay. This is Charlene Dwyer. I did see questions in the chat about whether the PowerPoint slides and an audio transcript would be available to the participants, and I'm just wondering if Meg or Jenny are on the line, if they could explain that they will be available and how and when.
Hi, this is Jenny. Yes, we'll have a recording available up on the Ticket to Work website, as well as a transcript and the questions from the chat. Should be up, I would say, definitely within a week.
And this is Meg. We'll make sure that we have our marketing team send out an email to everyone on how they can access this information.
Thank you.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, simply press star 1. And we still have no further questions. Are there any closing remarks?
Well, I think I would like to just thank our presenters, Richard, Jolene, and Tammy. They certainly shared the real world of providing work incentives services within the Ticket to Work program and how it can work and with youth, with adults while they're engaged with the VR program, and also after VR and after someone is working at substantial gainful activity. So thank you all for your presentations today and for sharing your wisdom and your lessons learned. And if we don't have any other questions, I think we will close the webinar.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude our conference call. You may now disconnect.